All right, folks, as promised, here we are with part two of our three-part series, putting a little feature on with EggEye3. Dr. Lisa Porth joining me today, co-founder of EggEye3. Lisa, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. So, Lisa, before we get into it a whole bunch here, we did have Ray Bouchard on in part one. And if you don't mind, I'd like to learn a little bit more, or have the listeners learn a little bit more about you. So a quick intro. And then how did you and Ray get together on this project? Let's start with that.
Yeah, thank you. So my background is as an actuary. And so I've spent quite a bit of time in the insurance space. I am an academic. I'm a professor at several universities where my research has been in agricultural insurance for the last two decades. And so I've done a lot of work on product development and pricing for insurers and reinsurers. And so I've always had, you know, a fairly, you know, significant interest, research interest in this area. Mm-hmm. Through that time, I think as an academic, I've had an opportunity to work very closely with Crown corporations here in Canada, with the federal government, as well as internationally. I've done quite a bit of work with, you know, private insurers and reinsurers and other governments in crop insurance. And so it's always just been a real passion of mine. I came to know Ray Bouchard about 6 or 7 years ago when we were doing a project on yield forecasting and kind of decision tools for growers. And okay. So that's how we really got to know each other. And as we were working with all of this precision agriculture data, we were really thinking about value of data and how growers could leverage this data. And you just had this like nagging, you know, this nag that I kept saying, you know, if you only could leverage this for crop insurance, it would be such a game changer. And it was really through those conversations that EggEye3, you know, came to be. And we really, you know, believed that there would be a different way of doing crop insurance.
Wow. Awesome. Cool. So you've spent the last couple decades working in this field. And like for me, like I'm, you know, I'm sitting here across the prairies, you know, in the prairies, I'm certainly not a crop insurance wizard by any means, but I've been working with farmers, you know, before as a consultant in my past career, helping them manage risk. And when I look at the crop insurance offerings from the province or the federal, you know, program, there hasn't been a whole bunch going on there. You know what I mean? Like it's been pretty steady. Is there behind the scenes, is there a lot of action in this space? Like, can I ask that?
Yeah. No, it's a good question, but you know, you use the word steady to describe it. And I think, you know, I think overall, you know, not just in Canada, but everywhere, the government crop insurance programs, they really are foundational. They provide that kind of important safety net. And, you know, in many countries, you have this, you know, this subsidization program, right, to make it affordable and make sure that all growers have access to crop insurance. And so, you know, I think it, you know, it carries on from year to year. But I do think when we look at kind of the other exciting things that have happened in insurance beyond agriculture, there's been some really exciting things. We think about telematics and usage-based insurance and using AI and dynamic pricing and digital platforms. But in crop insurance, it just hasn't, you know, come to be. And so I do think there's this opportunity for kind of modernization of crop insurance. But I think the bigger question is that the role of government? Will that happen in the government program? And, you know, and I think we'll get to this later in the podcast, but, you know, I think that's really, you know, where we've seen successes internationally has really been on these kind of how private and public programs can work together. And so, you know, I think that's when I think about like modernization of the program and where's all the action and the you know, kind of those new things, I think that's where EggEye3 fits in.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Appreciate you answering that. Okay. So let's jump back into EggEye3 for a second. So what problem are you solving here with EggEye3?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, I think farming, you know, farming's complex. I think it's increasing in complexity. I think there's a lot of dynamics, you know, whether, you know, there's, you know, a lot of conversation, obviously, around climate and increasing frequency and severity of different climatic events. But I think just, you know, more broadly, we look at farms, they're getting larger, you know, commodity price changes, input cost changes, inflationary environments. I mean, it's a risky business. And so I think what problem we're trying to solve is really around comprehensive risk management. And I think overall, you know, insurance is the backbone, I think, of any company, of any business. You know, I think most people couldn't imagine running a business without insurance. Yet in agriculture and farming, we have government programs and we have very few private options. And typically, you know, farms aren't a homogeneous group. They're all different. And so we really need a basket of options, and we need tools that allow us to look at the complexity of farming because these organizations, you know, there's no two farms that are the same. And so at a very high level, what problem are we trying to solve? I really think it's around a recognition of needing modernized insurance solutions for the agriculture space, because things are becoming more complex. They've always been complex, they're getting more complex. And there really is a lack of options on the market. And I think growers need a basket of options to choose from, and they can construct their own tailored risk management plans.
Yeah, you cover a whole bunch of stuff there, but 2024, 2025, 2026, all setting up to be challenging for growers across the globe, like at Western Canada, you know, the US. Even I had a discussion with an agronomy fellow in the UK. He covers Russia and Ukraine, and in Ukraine specifically, you know, cash shortage, farms being absorbed by other farms, kind of going under for lack of cash. It's going to be a tough margin years or tough margin coming up. And I'm excited to see how, you know, Ag i3 brings in another tool here for farmers to look at. So
yeah, maybe I would just comment that, you know, I think the opportunity is when we look at the evolution of farms, you know, you kind of go through these different stages with farms, but, you know, we went through, you know, an era where it was around farming with the least amount of inputs, right? The cheapest, the most margin. Yep. Then I feel like we transitioned to, you know, the farms that we would say really excelled were those that used a lot of inputs, right? And you really think about that era. And I feel like we're in an era right now where we're really thinking about running, you know, fairly complex businesses and organizations. And I think where I see it evolving to, where we start to look at kind of complex, you know, these challenges that you mentioned, is that risk management becomes part of your business plan. And it's not something that you buy in and out of every year. And we'll talk about it, I'm sure, later. Yes, there's nuances. What are the commodity prices this spring that set how much coverage you have? But overall, you know, for most businesses, you don't decide to buy, you know, insurance one year and drastically change your insurance the next year. So I think we're going into this era where it becomes just part of your business planning. And here's risk management that gives me comfort. And I think ultimately it's around bringing stability to farms, but taking a bit of a long-term view, not just the seasonal, okay, I'm going to buy this product this year and I'm going to drastically switch the next year. It's more of a long-term game.
Yeah, 100%. I want to switch gears on you here just a little bit. Ag i3 is a startup, a newer company across the prairies. We're talking about risk management. We're talking about insurance. Tell us a little bit about the background, and I kind of wrote the word trust down here, but you know, can Ag i3 be trusted in this space, or tell us a bit about the company?
Yeah, so yes, you can trust Ag i3. I think the company is fairly new, but I mean, the founders and the group of people behind Ag i3, we've been here for decades. You know, we know agriculture well. We have such an interdisciplinary team, and we really believe in, you know, doing something at home here in Canada and really modernizing crop insurance. So when I think about Ag i3, You know, we're a full stack AI company that's completely focused on risk management. That's our lane. That's our niche. We're going deep into risk management with tools, with products. You know, we talked about Ray Bouchard earlier, but really taking, you know, his background, you know, kind of with working with farms on a daily basis, and taking my background in kind of that actuarial space on insurance product development and pricing. I think it's really bringing these things together and saying, okay, we hear what growers need, what their challenges are. Now, how do we do this? How do we build products? How do we get insurance capacity and reinsurance capacity to deliver solutions to farms that make sense and that you know, are sustainable over the long run? And so this is AGI3's second year on the market this spring. We've been dealing with agriculture for decades. You know, last year we worked with, you know, over 100 farms that trusted us to work, you know, work with them and provide you know, quotes and insurance solutions. This year, you know, we've grown significantly. There's significant demand. So farms trust us. We've had great feedback. I think we don't take just a sales first approach. It's really around understanding risk management. We spend time with growers. And I think we're very transparent. That goes along with our trust. So what we'll talk about in a little bit is through our AGI3 platform, you know, we have technical advisors that help, you know, kind of onboard you and put digitize your data for you. But it's your data and you get access to your quotes in real time, and you can play around with the options and you can see it in real time. So it's about, you know, kind of demystifying the process of how much we're charging you. And just indirectly, I think the more you are in control of understanding your coverage options and band size and products, you also inherently learn about your risk on your farm. And, you know, oh, that's interesting that this particular crop type on this land costs that much more. I wonder why. And so you understand risk profiling of your crops and your land and your management practices, you know, kind of just intuitively through that process. So, you know, I think just overall, I would say, you know, we have an interdisciplinary background. I think, you know, we're really proud, you know, just to kind of build on your trust comment, is I believe we've partnered with one of the best insurance companies in Canada. So our main partner is Definity Financial. You know, their brand name is Economical Insurance, that most people would know them by. You know, but they have a really unique history. They've been around for 150 years. They're actually one of the oldest property and casualty insurers in Canada. They started off as a mutual in farming, providing farm insurance solutions. They're based out of Toronto. And they've grown and over time, and they demutualized a few years ago, and they had, you know, one of Canada's most successful IPOs. But why that's important for what we're doing is they're a big trusted insurance company, and we have a very different partnership, I would say, with Definity than most people would have when you're delivering private crop insurance solutions. So with that size comes their ability to, you know, to write more business, to introduce more products. And I think that's what's been missing in Canada, is really that true partnership approach with insurers and you know, that allow you to really grow and, you know, and offer these solutions to growers here in Canada.
So I like what you're saying. So trusted partner with a very well-established insurance company. You've got a team across the prairies. You're building a track record with farmers from last year, which was a challenging growing season, working with growers. That's fantastic. I wanted to just, I'm going to ask you a bit of a wild one here, because you talked about maybe demystifying the process a little bit. As growers across the prairies, you head to your local office, and you don't get a lot of context. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about reinsurers for just a second. And I know you can't tell me all the details necessarily, but how is it working with the reinsurers? Are there people there? Like, is this a people type business, or what happens? Cause as farmers, we don't know what's going on back.
So, you know, so this is a great question. So some people don't even know what a reinsurer is, right? And so, you know, what reinsurance is when you buy insurance on insurance. And you need to do that in situations where you have volatile risk. And, you know, so you kind of have the systemic risk. So when something happens, it tends to be a little bit more widespread. And when we think about agriculture, that's exactly what happens when we think about events like droughts, you know, that are persistent and affect, you know, many farms, or, you know, excess moisture and some of those types of conditions. And if you compare that to traditional insurance, like homeowners insurance or auto insurance, they're very independent events, right? If somebody gets in an accident, it doesn't mean all the, all the vehicles in Saskatchewan are, you know, part of those losses. And so when you have this volatility, you need to spread out that risk more to manage that volatility. So that's where reinsurance steps in. And you end up with a panel of reinsurers, actually many reinsurers, that each take a small proportion of the risk. And so you can structure them in different ways. At a high level, you can have two basic types: quota share, where everybody takes, you know, kind of a certain percentage of every dollar, or you can do something called stop loss, where it's kind of how the crowns buy reinsurance. It's like the crowns keep the first bit of risk, and once it exceeds a certain threshold, then the reinsurers kind of chip in and they take that next layer of loss. And so yes, there's people, real people that are reinsurers. I would say in agriculture, though, most big reinsurance companies have specialty agriculture underwriters. Many of them are out of Europe. And so, you know, they're not here in Canada. So you know, they probably do seem a little bit, you know, more mysterious. But I would say with the reinsurers, they often come and visit Canada every summer. And, you know, some of our farms, you know, you've seen them on the farm and they're learning about Canadian agriculture. But an important thing about the reinsurers is that they really have that international perspective. And so when you look at a lot of the expertise in product development and whatnot, these reinsurers, you know, they've been developing products in the US and, you know, they've been part of programs in South America and Europe and whatnot. So they really do bring an interesting perspective. But a lot of it is around sustainability and managing things over the long term. And so it's a complex program, I think, to offer, because you not only have an insurance company, but you have many different reinsurance companies that are all taking part of the risk.
Yeah, I appreciate your candid answer. I think people are going to rewind that a couple minutes and listen to that a few times, because honestly, we just don't get that perspective across the prairie. So that's, thank you for that. I'm going to go back now into Ag I3. Let's just talk about how does it work right now? I know we touched on it a little bit here and there, but how does it work, Ag I3?
So I would say our process has evolved based on feedback from farmers. But, you know, at a high level, I think where Ag I3 sees ourselves is we're really that interface between really deeply understanding what's happening on a farm and being able to package all of that information into a format that insurers and reinsurers will, you know, underwrite that risk, right? Take that risk. And so I think we have quite an easy process from a farmer's perspective. You know, a farm provides their crop plan along with their expected yields, you know, and the same type of information that you'd be required to provide for your government crop insurance. And on the back end, then what happens is our algorithms, our models, we assess several different aspects of that risk equation, you know, previous yields, you know, weather trends, you know, we ultimately create a risk profile, but uniquely we can do it down to a field level. So we're not doing the whole farm. We're actually developing a risk profile at every individual field. And we provide a quote, you know, very, very quickly. Like I said before, it's very transparent. A farm can log on to their account. They can change their quote. They can generate, you know, new ones. And what's really interesting is we see some of the behavior of how farms are using our platform right now. And for some farms, they know what they want. They come in, they generate a quote, and they let us know, okay, I'd like to submit my application. And you see other farms that have generated 15 quotes because they're trying different combinations and different options. So, you know, I think it's transparent and it's easy. You know, 2024 crop plan, we're not sitting down at the table asking for 10 years of information. It's give us your crop plan. And, you know, and from there, our algorithms kind of do the rest of that assessment.
We haven't talked about financial information at all. Are you seeking any financial information from growers in this process?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So we do not require financial information. So we are a production insurance policy. So we are covering yield shortfall. We're not covering revenue or margin insurance. It is kind of production insurance. And so we really focus on just that production information. And I think we've spent many years now developing these models and our digital solution to make it easy. So provide a 2024 crop plan. We get it in very different formats from growers. Some will send us shape files, some will send us Excel sheets, some will send us photos, and our team gets it into the system. We do like a quick Zoom meeting and meet with the grower, explain how to use the application and hand over the account. And from there, it's literally three clicks on our platform and you have a quote. So it's very, very simple.
Nice. Perfect. Okay. So you have all this data, you've got this farm data as well. I'm going to ask it, what happens to my data?
So we require minimal data. And so you're really providing your crop plan and your field boundaries to get started. And, but we take data, privacy very seriously. So we don't need any financial information. It's kind of just that high level information that I talked about. We recently did become a member of Ag Data Transparent. And so, for us, this means that we're committed to transparency and simplicity and trust, and we share our data policies publicly and demonstrate these values in all of our data handling. I think importantly, that data is always the grower's data. And, I think there's a lot of other, value for growers working with us because we help them digitize their data. They can push a button and get it all back, and it's all nice and clean and structured. They can, I think I would just share that we haven't met a farm yet that wasn't comfortable and willing to share their data. And we do develop relationships with them over time. And, even if a farm's needing their data for another purpose, they often come back to our team and ask for some assistance. We have some farms that have said, listen, can I provide even more data? Can I load all my precision agriculture information in here for my own record management, for my own sharing? And we provide that all completely complimentary as well. So, not only are we here for insurance and risk management, but farmers get free access to the Ag i3 platform, and that data is always there. So I think it's something that we're very proud about, that grower, data is grower data. We handle it very carefully, and we use it to be able to maybe take some of the friction out of that process of buying insurance and hopefully demystify some of that process.
Yeah, you bet. Is there any advantage of providing more data as well? Like if going back a couple of years, is there any advantage to doing that?
Yeah, and I think over time, just as we get to know growers, that's often, we're even seeing like our second year in the market, that most growers are asking to provide more data to us. They, they learn from us and from looking at their data. But it does help us. I mean, ultimately, when you're kind of going through that underwriting process, the more, kind of line of sight we have in terms of what's happening on that farm and the experience of that farm, the better for insurance purposes. So it's not required. We really kind of leave the farmer in control of those decisions. Sometimes once a farm's applied for insurance and you're going through that underwriting process, like any other type of insurance, sometimes there's more questions that are asked and we might go back and ask for a little bit more information. But it's very incremental. And I think that's important. We said early on, if we had to go in, to get a quote, we needed to spend, days with a farm and get 10 years of data, that might, really kind of, it would really turn farms off, or it would take that long and that much effort when they're already busy, right? Just to get a quote.
Yeah. And so in your opinion, we're talking about yield shortfall insurance here. Do I still need my government insurance and why?
So I think that's a hard question to answer because I think there's a few important things. We're not blanket insurance. I think farms are all different and they're going to have different risk management needs. I can't say enough, we have a very strong relationship, with the Crown Corporations, and we do think that that's an important program for many growers. I think, joking a little bit, when you ask most farms, if they like their government crop insurance, most will have some form of criticism. But I think there's also a lot of recognition how important that program is. And, you know, and you're paying subsidized premiums. And so to me, the question is, how do we, you know, how can you optimize them? How can you mix and match them to kind of create a really strong risk management plan? So
sure.
I think for some growers, what we see is they don't buy government crop insurance. They really like private solutions. They could be more complex farms. They could be larger farms. They could, you know, there's many different reasons. Yeah. And so they're really just looking for a private insurance solution. And I would say for some of those farms, it's really around, okay, well, if I've ever had a claim, if I look back over the last 10 years, it's really just in this band, my volatility band, what we call it, kind of that working layer of risk that you kind of tap into every once in a while when conditions aren't great. And so for them, they would rather just pay for private crop insurance, because even though it's not subsidized, you're just paying for what you believe you need, that layer of risk. Whereas, yeah. as you know, with government crop insurance, yes, it's subsidized, but you're paying on that whole tower of risk down to zero. And so some growers would say, I'm paying for risk, like, you know, I'm paying for coverage that I'm not going to use. And I think, you know, you have an event like 2021. And for some farms, I think it was a real surprise that, you know, you always thought you could always, regardless of the conditions, you could always produce a certain amount of crop. And I think some people were a bit surprised by what happened in 2021, but most farms didn't produce zero. And so I think, you know, for some farms, private insurance makes sense. I think for other farms that we work with, they buy both government and private. And for them, it's about like optimizing their risk management plan. And I think where the value is for our type of product, because it's production based, it layers on perfectly with agri insurance. And so it's really around, you know, you kind of have this tall tower of coverage with the government, where let's say you buy 80% coverage, you're covering all the way down to zero. Mm-hmm. And then with Ag I3, you're covering just that band or that layer of risk up top. So it kind of works in parallel with the government program in that working layer. And so if you do dip into that working layer and you have a loss, you're getting a 2-for-1. You're getting a payment right. from the government in that layer. You're getting a payment from Ag I3. And when you add those indemnity payments together in that layer, it kind of backfills your deductible, and it brings you, you know, makes your farm more whole. And yeah. that's really that area that I think is really challenging for farms when you're talking about tighter margins and kind of some of the complexities we talked about earlier. So I think it really just depends. Maybe one thing that I think is really important is that with Ag I3, because we have a digital platform and everything, all of our pricing is dynamic, I think there's a lot of choices for a farm. And so so you can buy individual crop, which is the way government crop insurance works. You can go crop by crop. You have to insure all of your acres of that crop type. But yep. you can choose different coverage levels. You could do 80% on your canola and 70% on your wheat. You can do a $100 band on one and a $150 band on the other. So you can do everything individual. We even have really unique kind of risk sharing bands where you can kind of do like a co-share on it. And that kind of, you know, for any price point, if your budget is $5 an acre or $7 an acre, you can find something that fits on your farm. But we also offer whole farm. And so I think, you know, the benefit of whole farm is you get a diversification discount because we recognize you have some offsetting of risk on your farm. Yep. It's simple. It's one policy. So I think that's the nice thing about what we're offering is that there's so many choices, but it's at your fingertips. So it's not, you know, it's fairly easy to see and try these different options and see what the price and coverage kind of looks like.
Yeah. And if I'm understanding this correctly, the farmer has the ability to, you know, if it's, you know, 5 a.m. pouring a cup of coffee, they can look at their platform and their different scenarios. There's nobody that's over their shoulder saying, you know, here, do this or that. It's all, they can kind of look at it. Is that, that's what I'm getting?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's all digital. I say some of our farms, they access it themselves. They, you know, kind of, they mm-hmm. run all their quotes themselves. And when they're ready to kind of discuss it, they can talk to one of Ag I3's brokers. But we have other farms. I think we're really, I'd say something that's very important to Ag I3 would be our partnerships. And so we really do take a partner first approach. And I think what was really important to us is that farms already have a lot of trusted advisors. They're people that they feel comfortable with, that they take advice from, and we don't want to insert ourselves in that relationship. And so, you know, we've partnered with, you know, whether they're accountants or, you know, different trusted advisors, I would say, that farms are already working with. And so for those types of situations, you know, everything's accessible in our platform, and you could go work with your accountant and you could run different options and scenarios yourself, and you can get access, you know, run 20 quotes and look at all the different options and pick the one that makes the most sense for your farm. When you're ready to buy, a broker's going to talk to you and make sure you understand the coverage that you have. And it's very, once you decide you want to buy, that process is so easy. All you do is you hit submit on our on the application. It comes right over to the underwriting team. And for some farms, you know, you see approval in an hour, and, you know, for some farms, but generally speaking, within a day or two, we're able to approve these policies. You get an email notification that you've been approved. You log into your account, you see all your insurance documents there. So it is a fairly easy process.
Okay, great. Couple more for you here. And I want to go back to the industry just a little bit. Now we talked about it at the start of the episode. I want to circle back here. Is the insurance industry changing at all? Like, you know, you've been involved for many years, like you said, decades. Are there changes? Is it an industry that's changing, and are there impacts, or what does it mean for agriculture if there are changes?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot changing. I think insurance is becoming a lot more sophisticated. I think it's becoming a lot more data driven, and I actually think it's a huge opportunity for the agriculture space. I mean, agriculture is data rich, and you know, I think often maybe a struggle in the agriculture sector is, what do I do with my data? How do I get value for my data? I don't want to just, you know, from a farmer's perspective, I don't want to just keep giving it away. It's worth value. How do I monetize it? Well, I think risk management and insurance is such a great opportunity. Your data translates to better insurance, better coverage, you know, all of these things that are so critical to a farm. And so I think there's that real opportunity. So beyond kind of sophistication and data, I think other things that are changing in insurance in general is there is a real focus on kind of climate impacts and what we're seeing in terms of those exposures. So you start to see more frequent events. I think you start to see more severe events. When we look at, you know, Canada this year, we had wildfires, you have flooding, you have all of these significant events. And I think, you know, from an insurer's perspective, how you manage that is it's about spreading out your risk and diversifying your risk. And you really play with that, you know, kind of geographical diversification, client diversification. And so I think, you know, I think there's additional requirements and maybe additional scrutiny then, because, you know, in agriculture, most of your, you know, most of what's driving a loss is due to adverse weather. And so, you know, I think part of it is making sure when you're offering a private product that you have spread of risk and you're covering farms, you know, across large geographic areas. I think an opportunity in agriculture, I always say that insurers and reinsurers like agriculture, they like having it part of their book of business, because we describe it as having a short tail event. And so what that means is your exposure starts in May when you plant, and you harvest in October. So in the insurance world, that's a very small window of time that you have your capital at risk. And so that's a nice piece of diversification for an insurance company and reinsurance companies to have in their book. So I think where we see Ag i3 is really bridging that gap between what's happening on a farm, how do we take that data, how do we add value to that data and translate it to a risk profile that we can use for insurance, for pricing, for more accurate pricing that makes sense to the farm, for more innovative, modern insurance products that maybe fit the needs of today's farms. And then being able to explain that to the insurers and the reinsurers that are providing that capacity. And in the background, we do a lot of work to explain. So if you can imagine in, you know, Western Canada, there's been a lot of headlines this year and last year, you know, drought across the prairies, you know, spring not shaping up to be good, huge snowfall in Western Canada, farmers feeling 50% more confident about spring conditions. And you will have, like, we will have reinsurers that message us from, you know, from Europe saying, you know, what's it like over there? You know, how are you feeling about the season? So there's still so much sentiment, I think, in what's happening. But because we have data, because we have digitized farms, because I think we take a very sophisticated approach to insurance and farming, we're able to bridge that gap. And I think that's a real strength of ours.
Yeah, that sounds great. I never thought about that before, where someone in Europe you know, from a reinsurer perspective, sees the snowfall event and sends a message like, hey, how much snow did you get, right? Like, or how are you feeling? Like, I didn't even think about that. So,
but I think it's important, like, maybe that we think of insurance, we think of it being a necessity, we think of it being rather boring, something that most people don't get excited about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the anomaly. I get really, really passionate when I talk about insurance. But it's a partnership. And I think that's, you know, like, you know, a message to kind of your audience is to really think about it as a partnership. You know, I think it's something that, you know, hopefully these products provide value back to farms, and it's risk management that really works when farms need it. But we also need that partnership with insurers and reinsurers about providing that important capacity. And, you know, it's a real, in my view, it's a real risk to Canada to not have more insurance options for farmers here. When we look at our competitive kind of counterparts in the US and other parts of the world, those farms mm-hmm. have a lot of choice that we don't necessarily have for Canadian farmers. And so, you know, it is very much, you know, these insurance companies and reinsurance companies, they care about what's happening on the farm. They care about, you know, how are our farms in Canada implementing new technology? How are mm-hmm. they making decisions about, you know, varieties that they're growing? And, you know, how, you know, just what's the sentiment on farms here? And we see, like I said earlier, when they come and do their kind of North American tours, they come and spend time on farms and they want to understand what's happening on farms. So I think that partnership approach is important to understand.
You said capacity just a few seconds ago. Is there enough capacity, like, for farmers in Western Canada? Like, is capacity infinity out there, just different price points? Or yeah. Like, can we talk about capacity for a second?
So no, there's not unlimited capacity. I would say overall, we're in what we call a hard market for insurance and reinsurance, where we think okay. about all the different insurance needs. You know, you have inflation, you have property values going up, you see kind of more events happening. And so capacity, and I should explain what I mean by capacity, is that insurance or reinsurance capital that's put at risk in case there's a claim. And so we overall see a tightening of capacity and kind of more scrutiny over where that capacity is being deployed. Now, with that said, it ties into my previous conversation, but agriculture, that's very nice risk to have as part of a portfolio of other insurance risks. And so I think it's about building it up over time and demonstrating that, you know, it's not just the riskiest farms that are wanting to buy extra insurance, that it's actually part of, like, other businesses, it's part of their risk management strategy, it's part of their business plan. And these are long-term decisions that farms make. And so with that comes, I think, significant capacity for farms in Canada. And so what we've been working on with AGI3 is, you know, as you grow your book of business, yes, sometimes you do have capacity constraints. And mm-hmm. and how it works is, in some areas, you can sell so much, then you need to go sell some more risk in another area to kind of balance out your risk, your geographical spread of risk. And so you do, farms do hear that, okay, we're almost out of capacity in your area, we need to put you on a wait list. And that's a legitimate thing that is part of portfolio diversification and some of the requirements that we have to manage. But what we're working on with AGI3 is solid group of farms with geographical diversification and product diversification. So, you know, I mentioned about our production insurance, which is our Agra Enhanced program. And it's kind of our flagship crop insurance program with many different options. But we are working on some other really innovative insurance solutions for farms as well. So we are working on one to protect farms from forward contracting when you're selling your grain, and like embedded insurance solutions that would kind of just attach to that contract and you know, would provide an indemnity in the event of a default or paying penalties. So we're working on some really innovative products like that. And I think just overall, you know, everything to do with the insurance you might need for your farm, you know, farms are different than other entities. And we see ourselves as understanding farms and having data to support it so that we can provide better options for farms.
See, now I'm getting excited about insurance because you mentioned protecting, like, grain contracts, and that's my background.
That's your world.
So
yeah.
Now I'm excited here about insurance. So that's great. Okay. One last one for you, Lisa. I appreciate all the time that you've given us today. Great conversation here so far. But last one, as a farm, what are some of the long-term gains I can, you know, experience or think about in partnering with Egg i3 or value that the farm will receive in partnering with Egg i3?
So, I mean, I think, you know, I said before that we're not a sales first company. We're not here just for that crop insurance selling season and then you don't hear from us again. We're, you know, we're really there all year round. We work with growers all year round. Mm-hmm. So, you know, today our platform is, you know, it's completely free and complimentary to farms. I think it adds a lot of value if you're looking for ways to your record management, your mapping of your risks. We have some analytics that we're introducing. So you can look at weather conditions, and you can look at NDVI and other, you know, information that you might want to use, soil moisture throughout the growing season. And so that information is available to farms. So I think that's value in partnering with us. I think it provides, you know, there's no harm in reaching out and partnering because it's quick, doesn't take a lot of time. It's very light touch in terms of the data requirements. So it gives you another option out there to start thinking about, you know, how could private insurance work with my farm? What are my options? So I think it's very light touch. And I think over time, we're doing some really, some other really innovative things in Egg i3. We have some IoT solutions. So really around kind of data capture and using AI-driven insights for farms. And so I think the more you work with our team, the more exposure you get to some of our other data and insights. And I think those will form, you know, some even deeper relationships over time.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Okay. Now, we're recording this in early March. Do you have any, I'm assuming you're quite busy right now with, this is insurance season, right? Any, to wrap up the episode, anything that you want to share with growers, anything new you've learned in the last couple of weeks here, or anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I think there's a lot of demand, you know, for insurance, like an exceptional amount of demand this year that's kind of exceeded, you know, kind of what we were anticipating. I think it speaks to maybe some of the uncertainty that farms are feeling, not just, you know, about anticipation of weather, but just some of the other dynamics happening on farms. We still have capacity. We've sold a lot of insurance, but we still do have capacity and we'd love to continue working with farms. I think, you know, we have many farms reach out every day just through the website. You can go to eggi3.ai and somebody on our team gets back very quickly and we can get a crop plan and get you loaded into the system to get a quote pretty quickly. So by all means, reach out. We can sell insurance till May 15th or until you've seeded. So we still do have a lot of time. I would say the capacity piece that we were talking about before, you know, just because there is a lot of demand this year, you know, the earlier you engage, the better. But again, just reach out, learn a little bit more. If you don't buy insurance this year, you know, work with us throughout the year and stay in touch throughout the growing season. And, you know, I think everybody's better positioned for next year.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think that is one of the important parts. We mentioned it a couple times, but partnership, if it's not for 2024, you look at getting set up for 2025 and beyond and building that relationship, building that partnership with the folks over at Egg i3. So, Lisa, I appreciate your passion for insurance. Farmers are going to appreciate it as well over the next few years as they see these new products come to market. Ray joined us in the first part of this. His passion was coming through clear as well. So thank you so much for joining the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit more about the insurance world and Egg i3. Any final comments?
No, I think we really enjoy working with growers directly and we always get such, you know, I think honest feedback, but I really do feel like we're offering something that otherwise is, you know, in short supply in Canada. And I think there's changes on the horizon and we can help to fill gaps and kind of optimize tailored risk management strategies for farms. So, you know, I look forward to, you know, personally getting the opportunity to work with farms, and we have just a fantastic team at Egg i3.
Awesome. All right, folks. Part three, we're going to take this little show on the road with Egg i3. So stay tuned for that in the next couple of weeks. Again, Lisa, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. And again, exciting things at Egg i3. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan.